Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm excited you are able to learn Hawkins. I'd like to say I have a pre-start very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Lima of Buffalo Bill Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present the sons and daughters of Yisrael Lima now entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Yisrael Lima, Yeshaya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Responding to Authority with Respect, Responsibility, and Humility. The word respect means to value or regard the worth of people and things, and to treat them with consideration, care, and concern. I got that definition from the Respect Unit on Lesson Plan 1, page E. When the authorities set rules over us and our possessions, it is for our safety and the safety of others. We need to respect the authorities, and we don't have to get respect to give respect. We should give respect because it's the right thing to do. Showing respect is a must. You have to show respect to your possessions. To be responsible, you have to show respect to your possessions. For example, like if you have books, you can put them on a bookshelf, not let them lay all over the floor. Being responsible means you are someone others can count on to fulfill your duties and obligations. But most of all, you can count on yourself to make choices that are positive and supportive of your moral character development. I'm going to read you on page 4. I'm going to read the first paragraph. It says, being responsible, is it really that important? Have you ever considered what it would be like if everyone stopped being responsible for their actions, duties, and obligations? Would anything be accomplished? Simple things that you probably don't think much about are accomplished because people are responsible. For instance, what if the school bus driver decided not to show up for work one day and didn't call nor notify the bus company of his absence? The school would be expecting the bus to keep its schedule. The students who depend on the bus would be waiting and wondering what caused the delay. Frustrated, they would either return home or walk to school. Just think of all the people it would inconvenience just because one person decided not to be responsible. So as you can see, just one person that is not responsible, it affects a lot of people. Being responsible really is that important. Turn over to Matithiah 23, verse 12. Matithiah 23, verse 12. On page 751. Matithiah 23, verse 12. It says, whoever will exalt himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If you exalt yourself by rejecting the laws, but if you're humble, Yahweh will exalt you. Being humble is another thing that we have to be humble. If we do something wrong, we need to admit that we made a mistake. When we are honest, we are being humble. And we are being responsible for our actions. The word humble means not being proud or arrogant. A humble person will not argue, dispute, nor disobey set rules. Turn over to Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3 on page 919. It says, "Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." So if you obey your father and mother, you are being humble. In closing, turn over to Proverbs 23, verse 24. Proverbs 23, verse 24, on page 511. It's precept 16. It says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise child will have joy because of him. So may your father and mother be glad, and may she who bore you rejoice." Remember, respond to authority with respect, responsibility, and humility.
And now, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn over to the son of Yishel Abel, Deacon Yishel David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Is everyone rejoicing? All right, I'm not going to let you sit down yet, because today we have an awesome lineup of speakers of Sons of Yisrael Abel who are going to be speaking on the demented state that the world is in and just how we can stay away from it and stay out of it. So they're going to be encouraging you and exhorting you on just how to remain in the house of Yahweh and to forget about all that's going on in the world today, or not to forget about it, to realize that it's curses of sin, but to get it out of your lives. So since you're all standing, I'd like to turn it over to our first speaker, a son of Yisrael Abel, Zebulun Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is "Be Steadfast and Keep Running the Race You Are In. Keep your mind on the straight and narrow path, because you have almost made it to the end." Now, today I want to start my speech off with the scripture that I go over every time I give a speech, which is 2 Timothy 2:15, which is found on page 938 in your book of Yahweh. It reads, "Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the law, and the prophets." Now, I want you to pay close mind to that word "study." The word "study" is word number 4704 in the Greek dictionary of the New Testament and the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, which means to make effort, be prompt or earnest, diligence, be diligent, endeavor, labor, and study. But the word number 4704 is also from 4710, which means business, care, diligence, forwardness, and haste. So you see right there that diligence, you have to diligently, as it says, study to show yourself approved to Yahweh. And the way you study to show yourself approved to Yahweh is by getting your mind in the books, by coming to classes, being involved in the work in any way that you can. But as in 4710, it says business. And that really caught my mind because if you remember where Yahshua says, "I'm about my father's business." And like I said, his father's business, which is his father who is Yahweh, Yahweh's business is, as in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "The word of truth, the law, and the prophets." So just be keeping those things in mind. If you'll turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4:12. Which is found on page 929 in your book of Yahweh. It reads, "That you may walk honestly before those who are outside, and that you may have lack of nothing." So you see that lack of nothing. If you're studying to show yourself approved, you will not have a lack of knowledge, because you are keeping your mind where it's supposed to be, which is in these books. As you hear a pastor say every time he gets up here, keep your mind in these books. Study to show yourself approved, so we can all be teachers, because we will all be teachers. The time is coming, the time is here, that we need the teachers in every Sabbath during the week, we're having classes to train people to be teachers. So, but if you look up to verses 7 and 8, they read, "For Yahweh did not call us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but he rejects Yahweh, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." So that Spirit holy. But as you see right there, you have not rejected man, you've rejected Yahweh himself. If you do not follow these teachings, if you do not do what is being taught in these last days, you're not rejecting pastor. You're not rejecting the one sitting here. You're rejecting Yahweh himself. Because if you remember, pastor is Yahweh to us. And we need to remember that we need to be Yahweh to each other as well. We need to be following that righteous example that is being brought forth by our last day's witness. So, if you just keep all those things in mind, I want to leave you with my title again, which was Be Steadfast and Keep Running the Race You're In, that You're In, and keep your mind on the straight and narrow path because you've almost made it to the end. So, I just want everybody to be thinking about those things, and if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Benjamin Simpson Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today I'm going to be talking about the power of words. And if you'll all be turning over in your books of Yahweh to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. And while you're flipping to that scripture, I want to speak on the power of words today, because the power words are very powerful, as we all know, and they have the power to break down someone, to inspire someone, or we can teach others with our words. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, on page 502, and verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon: A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." And Pastor Yisrael Hawkins is Yahweh to us, so we should be Yahweh to him. We're all familiar with that saying. So, in a sense, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, he is our father. And we are his sons. So, we all want to make our father glad, right? I mean, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, he's been teaching us for 60 years. I'm not 60 years old, but Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, he's been teaching us for 60 years. He's written prophetic words, newsletters, booklets, letters, books of Yisrael. Well, he doesn't write the books of Yisrael. All of his sermons are compiled into books of Yisrael. We can see how Pastor Yisrael Hawkins talks, how he speaks. He speaks according to the laws and the prophecies. So, we are learning to come out of Babylon, out of confusion. This is what we've been trained in, or this is what we've inherited from our parents. And as we are coming out of it, we're learning to speak according to Yahweh's laws. We're learning to speak as Yahweh's remnant, the called out ones in these last days that are the only light of the world. If you'll go down to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11, "The words of the righteous are a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." And this is what the house of Yahweh is. It is a well. It's a well of life. So, there are two works going on in these last days. There's Satan's work, and there's Yahweh's work. And you can see in the radio, if you listen to the radio, if you listen to the TV, you hear how they speak out in the world. They speak vanity. They speak foolishness. They get into debates on the news. They don't speak with the peaceful solution. They don't speak according to any laws whatsoever. And they also offend one another. So this is not the example we are to follow. We are to speak as saints of the house of Yahweh that are learning to teach and teaching what we've learned by our pastor and overseer. If you'll go down to verse 15 or to verse 18. "He who reveals hatred with lying lips, he who spreads slander is a fool. In a multitude of careless words, sin is not lacking. So he who controls his tongue is wise." And verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The mind of the wicked has no value. Let's all have the mind on the Sabbath day and throughout the week in our daily lives. Let's have the mind of speaking as people that are going to be the light to the entire world, the people that are going to be teaching them. We're going to be turning around this whole deceptive system. So we're going to be teaching them the right way to speak and how to encourage each other and how to build one another up so that we may all come together in perfection these last days. That's all the time I have. If you all please stand. I'll turn it over to another son of Yosef Label, Shemuel, Deacon Shemuel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Deacon Shemuel, and you all may be seated. All right. Today I'm going to be speaking on the importance of not partaking in the ways of the world. And I hope by the end of the speech that everyone will have no desire to be a part of the world at all. The main points that I'm going to hit on is worldly music, movies, and video games. All these are tools that Satan uses to pull us out of Yahweh's house. Let's see. So I'm going to start off, you know, we could look in the world and we see problems. Some of them are shootings, STDs, wars, violence, and drugs. You know, and all these are portrayed in the video game system, in the entertainment system of today's world, in which we should all try to get that out of our lives. You know, Satan uses the movies, video games, and she uses them to deceive us into thinking that that's okay. We get desensitized into thinking that, you know, it makes it look great on the outside, but really it destroys us on the inside. Another thing is we can't partake in the way of Yahweh and the way of Satan at the same time. That's like putting a drop of poison in your water and drinking it and then wondering why you're dying and you don't feel well. You know, well, a little drop of poison ain't going to hurt me, right? It doesn't work like that. You have to partake. You either partake in the way of Yahweh or the way of Satan. I have a scripture. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, verse 6, it says, so Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? If you do not do righteousness, you will not be accepted. And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. You know, no matter how much the pull of Satan is, we have to try as hard as we can to overcome it. Let's see. Oftentimes we get sucked into thinking we could put our hands on the hot stove and not get burned. Like a little child, you know, the parent tells you don't touch the stove and you go up and ow, that hurts. Well, yes, sin does hurt and we need to get it out of our lives. Let's see. We all have things to overcome, but we can't procrastinate. One of the things people often do is procrastinate into thinking, well, you know what, I'm going to overcome that tomorrow. I don't need to, you know, today I'm going to watch one more movie or whatever, listen to more worldly music. But we have to get it out of our lives today. We have to say, you know what, I'm going to practice Yahweh's laws and get sin out of our lives. We can't keep putting it off to the side as, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. Let's see. You know, and so many people out in the world die young because of one night of fun. You know, they think, oh, well, my friends are doing it. I mean, what's wrong with me doing it? But we have to ask ourselves these questions, you know. What are we going to tell Yahweh when we're on the sea of glass and we're like, well, why didn't you listen to what we were being told? You know, those are some of the questions we're going to have to be, or we're going to be asked, and we have to know how to answer those. You know, the difference between us and the world is that we're being offered a position in Yahweh's kingdom and they're not. You know, we have to take heed to that. We have to take heed to what pastor's teaching us and, you know, don't let it go. It's like it's being handed to us on a silver platter. We have to keep the goal in sight. And You know, remember, we're being judged on how much effort we put forth to overcoming. And I just want to encourage everyone, you know, keep the goal in sight. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next son of Israel, Abel, Deacon Melchizedek.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'd like to speak about be like Yahweh or you could be like the evil of the gods. It's our choice. If we start off, let's start off by turning to Genesis. Genesis 3, start off with verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, 'Has Yahweh indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, or you will die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for he knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as the gods, Elohim, knowing righteousness and evil.'" Verse 6, it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was desirable for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they had realized that they had sinned. They had violated Yahweh's laws. Because they had not kept Yahweh's laws, they were afraid." In verse 5, it says, "You will be as the gods, knowing righteousness and evil." And you can see this in the world today. I'll give you some examples, like sodomy, eating unclean foods, celebrating holidays, not listening to the one sent, and taking drugs. And this list, it goes on and on. When we do these things, we throw our protection away. Let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 59. Start off, it's on page 567. Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 2. It says, "Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your own iniquities have separated you from your father. Your own sins have caused him to hide his face from you, so that he will not listen." All right, let's go over to Psalms. Psalms 91, it's on page 470. Psalms 91, let's start off with verse 2. It says, "We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father, in you we will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome deadly pestilence." Verse 7, it says, "A thousand will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." Verse 9, it says, "Because you have made Yahweh your refuge, because you have made the Most High your house, the house of Yahweh, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling." Verse 14, it says, "Yahweh says, because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you, cause you to escape. I will set you on high because you know my name." Because you know my name means because you keep the laws of Yahweh. Now, so being evil like the gods, it leads to wickedness and to confusion. All right? And so let's go over to Genesis. Genesis 6. Genesis 6, and let's start off with verse 1. "And it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the earth, and the daughters were born to them, the sons of the gods, Elohim, saw that the daughters of the men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." Verse 3, it says, "And Yahweh said, the men of this world will never subject themselves to my word, the law and the prophets, for indeed they are carnally minded. Their days shall be 120 years. And verse 5, it says, "Then Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was intent, and the thoughts of man were only evil continually." All right, so in the first book of Israel, chapter 34 and verse 68, It says, but the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. He's talking about the sex drive. And he's talking about the lust. He's talking about energy, which makes you the lust. And he's talking about the energy, which makes you want to get out of a bed of a morning. What makes you delight in certain things. He's talking about those things. It all became evil. Just they started lusting after animals as well as everything else, just like the gods. The gods were doing it. They started inspiring man to do the same thing. All right, in the 13th book of Yisro, part 1, chapter 18, verse 31, it says, man was made for a purpose, to be made for Yahweh, to make man in the image and likeness. Man became like the gods instead, and Satan told him they could do this. Turn to sin. Accept this sin in our lives. Have a mixture here of righteousness and evil. You will be like the gods instead of being with Yahweh. This should be plain as the nose on anyone's face. You could either be like the gods or you could be like Yahweh. But of course, man chose to be like the gods. And a god is one who lifts himself up above others. So that's all the time I have. That, everyone, please stand. I'd like to turn over to another son of Yisro Abel. Abiah Trotman Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is You Have Not Because You Ask Not. The goal I would like to run home today is to show the problems the world is in because they do not ask, and the reason why you should keep continuing to ask at Abel. Today, the world is on the brink of total destruction and all-out nuclear war. Presently, there are 41 wars still going on at this time. This shows the state of confusion in the mind of the leaders and the leaders of the nations of the world today. Please turn to Isaiah 59, verse 8 and 10. It says, they do not know the way of peace, and there is no judgment in their going. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever walks on them will not know peace. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as the night. We are in desolate places as the dead. They do not ask the proper authority. The leaders of the nations are groping in the dark like blind men looking for an answer. This is because they ask not. Please turn to Yaakov 4, verse 1 through 2. It says, what causes wars and fighting among you? Is it not from your lust that battle in your mind, members? You lust, but do not have. You murder and covet, but cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not receive. Because you do not ask. Ask. What is the word ask? What does it mean? Taken from the Peace of Solution, Grade 3, Teacher's Manual, Do Not Steal, the word ask is defined as seeking permission. Who do we ask? Where do we go ask? We have to ask the proper authority. Long ago, the kings of the nations would go see the priest. That Yahweh has set at that time to answer their problems. Please turn to 2 Samuel 20, verse 18. It says, then she spoke, saying, they used to speak long ago, saying, to receive an answer, ask at Abel, and that would settle a matter. Today, the leaders of the nations don't seek their answers at Abel. They seek elsewhere, and not according to Yahweh's will, but for their own selfish gain. Please turn to Deuteronomy 17, verse 9 through 10. Go to the priests who are Levites and to the judge who is in office at that time. Ask for their decisions and they will give you sentence of judgment. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all they order you to do. In these last days, Yahweh has established his house by the two witnesses, Jacob and Israel, at Abilene, Texas, the United States of America, to judge all matters according to Yahweh's righteous laws by the priests who are put in office at that time. We see the nations are not asking the proper authority, and we see that they continue to have continual war and no peace. But you, saints of Yahweh, I want to encourage you to continue to ask at Abel for your answers. And when you receive your answers, to do as they order you to do. Please turn to Deuteronomy 17:11. It says, according to the law they teach you, you shall do, and according to the decisions they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left from the sentence they pronounce for you. So I encourage you again to ask at Abel for this great house of Yahweh for that golden answer that will settle that matter. I would like to leave you off with a closing scripture. Please, and see what Yeshua says in Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next son of Israel, Abel, Deacon Emmanuel Brooks Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You maybe see it. All right. So how was everybody's Sabbath today? Great. All right. My title of the sermon or speech that I'm giving today is called Do Not Give Up. You know, and in the house of Yahweh, we are protected. You know, we are protected in the house of Yahweh. We don't have to worry about certain things that other people worry about out in the world. Now, I would like to give the definition of protected. It means to keep safe from harm or injury. And some of the synonyms that goes with it is safe, safeguard, preserve, guard, and keep. I have a question. Why is this the protected place, or why is this place protected? Well, it's because the authority teaches things to keep us safe. But even when we are protected, we're going to have times when we are tested. And Satan will test us. We're going to have tests. We're going to see tests. But let's not be tests to others. The definition of tests, which is very interesting to me, is to take measures to check the quality, performance, or reliability of something before putting it to widespread use or practice. I'm going to see if I can oak it down. Basically, it means I'm going to see if you can do something before you do it a lot. All right. For example, I'm going to see if you can fry an egg before I call you a chef. I'm going to see if you can write before I call you an author. I'm going to see if you can become a student before you become a teacher. I'm going to see if you can crawl before you walk. I'm going to see if you cannot steal before I classify you as an honest person. Sometimes we can see the test as being hard, but we got to remember that Yahweh allows us to be tested, and he will not give us a test that we cannot bear. The scripture that goes to that, with that is 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you can turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13, it reads, There is no temptation taking hold of you except what is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tested, he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, what is the way of escape? I have another scripture for that. The scripture is 1 Timothy 2:15, which reads, "Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, righteously dividing the word of truth, the laws and the prophets." Now, sometimes you gotta look back at all the knowledge that the great house of Yahweh, that you gained from the great house of Yahweh, and you gotta ask yourself, without the house of Yahweh, where would I be? Without pastor, where would I be? That's why you have to thank and praise Yahweh for our pastor, Overseer Yeshua Abel Hawkins. We have to believe in him, the greatest teacher in the world. Now, Yochanan 6:29 says, "Yeshua answered and said to them, 'This is a work of Yahweh, that you believe in him who has sent you.'" All right. And believe means to accept something as truth. And I just want to say that if we believe, we obey. If we believe in Pastor Joshua Arkins, we obey him. And in closing, Yahweh will allow us time to train to become teachers we need to be. And it's going to take everything we got. So don't give up. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to another son of Israel, Abel Hawkins. Y'all may please stand for Deacon Yakir Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. Today, I'll be speaking on three steps of showing respect and how you can urge and encourage everyone on towards righteousness. For the first step, I'm going to have value. Values are what you believe in or feel strongly about. And in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, it says, this is the priest speaking to Jacob. It says, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How wonderful is this place! This is none other than the house of Yahweh, and this is the gate, the entrance, the way to the kingdom of Yahweh." This is how we all felt when we came to the house of Yahweh, like we have found the place. And we were so excited in how we praised Yahweh. You know, and it says, things we should value in the house of Yahweh, like the teachings that come forth from the house of Yahweh. If it wasn't for the teachings from the house of Yahweh, none of us would be here, or we'd all be in near-death situations, gang fights, have a disease, unwanted pregnancies, things like this. And we should also praise Yahweh for the clean food that we have in the house of Yahweh. The next step is appreciate. Recognize the full worth of or to hold in high regard. We should appreciate the workers in the house of Yahweh and the great work that they are doing at this time. Because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have clean food to eat or clean milk to drink. We would all have diseases. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And it says, "And let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works." Show each other that we appreciate one another. Encourage them. And the next step is respect. Respect is showing care and concern for others. When we see our brothers down or see our sisters down, show them that we appreciate them and that we value them. Encourage them. Help them on throughout the day. Don't just let them sit there and feel down about themselves or feel like they're not appreciated. Show them that you love them and you care about them. Like Pastor does to us. When Pastor guides us and teaches us in the house of Yahweh, he shows us where we went wrong. It shows us how we can do better. Like Yeshua did for his disciples. Be a benefit to one another. Show each other that we appreciate and value one another. You know, we are to be Yahweh to each other. When we look to Pastor, we see Yahweh. When we look at each other, we are to be Yahweh. Encourage one another. Appreciate each other. Listen and appreciate the priest. Show the priest that you appreciate them. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the next great son of Yisrael, Abel Hawkins, Deacon Yisrael David.
Shalom. Please be seated. I'm going to be speaking about Yahweh's promise of protection that he gives us under the condition that we keep his laws and strive for protection that he has commanded. Now, if you'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 30, this is where Agur was speaking, and he was talking about how, he was more brutish than any man. He doesn't have the understanding of a man, but he wants to be taught in Yahweh's ways. Now, in verse 5, he says, every word, every law and prophecy of Yahweh is true, is pure. He is a shield of protection to those who put their trust in him. Verse 6, do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be found a liar. And then in verse 8, he says, remove vanity and God worship and lies far from me. Okay, so notice these things. We have to trust in Yahweh, and he'll be a shield of protection for us. And then how do we trust in Yahweh? By removing these things from us. These are vanity and God worship. So we have to trust in Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is an honest, fair person. He's the creator. And his laws are going to bring what he promises that they're going to bring. If we trust in Yahweh by keeping his laws, we will have protection. Now, we need to realize that when we allow fear and pride to cloud our minds, and we break Yahweh's laws as a result, we're showing that we think we're smarter than Yahweh. Even though he's the one that created us and gave us everything that we know, we're now saying that we're smarter than Yahweh. That's really, really foolish, isn't it? So what we need to do, we need to remember Yahweh's plan and stop trusting in our own heart. If you remember what Proverbs says, what does it say? He who trusts in his own heart is a what? A fool, exactly. We don't want to be fools. Another thing we should not do is we shouldn't fear man. We shouldn't fear this beastly governmental system. If you remember King David and all the prophets, Moshe, and even Yahshua Messiah himself, told us that man can do nothing to us unless it's allowed by Yahweh. If you'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 29, which is on the same page, and verse 25, it says, the fear of man only brings a trap, but he who puts his trust in Yahweh will be safe. So notice, if you're afraid of man, it brings a trap. You're going to allow sin into your life to where that you try to do something to appease man and please man and forget about Yahweh. That's definitely not what we want to do. Now, you know, people are saying that the government's going to come in and wipe everybody out and like Yahweh's powerless to stop it and to protect his people. That's nonsense. That's garbage. We need to go back and read the sermons. Praise Yahweh. We need to go back and read the sermons about how, if you remember the Waco incident and David Koresh and all these other groups that the government went in and obliterated and wiped out, well, they didn't have the protection of Yahweh. They didn't keep Yahweh's laws. Sure, they might have maybe tried to keep the Sabbath or maybe they tried to use the name Yahweh, but they didn't have the protection of Yahweh. They weren't at the place that's been chosen where Yahweh chose to place his name. So yes, they did not have the protection of Yahweh and they were wiped out. But also remember what occurred after that. The house of Yahweh was informed, hey, you're next. You're going to be wiped out next. And you remember what occurred? Are we gone? No, we're sitting right here right now, okay? Yahweh protects his people. Okay, remember the stories of the snowstorm that occurred, the people that came and then turned right back around, oh, I just can't do it. All those different stories that have been brought out, and put your trust in Yahweh. Okay, so don't get swayed by fear. Now, how do we trust in Yahweh? Of course, by keeping his laws and by trusting in his witness and obeying his priests. Now, say, for example, Yahweh does allow someone to threaten your life. So does that mean that we can totally give up our trust in Yahweh? He's a liar now and we can deny his name? No, we still have to stand firm for Yahweh. That's what the apostles did. That's what the prophets did. And that's what Pastor did. Okay, Pastor went through the same thing. His life has been threatened so many times, but he hasn't given up. Praise Yahweh. That would make you look really, really bad on the sea of glass if you go ahead and deny Yahweh because you're scared of your life. Remember, you can have eternal life in the kingdom of Yahweh. But how do we lose Yahweh's protection? There's numerous accounts in the scripture of people who turned away from Yahweh and were killed, or sickness and disease came upon them and they died. Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 2, we should all know that scripture. It tells us that sin cuts us off from Yahweh, and that connection is broken. So we can't be fake. We can't trust in the world and their God worship and still expect to have protection from Yahweh. It doesn't work that way. We need to reevaluate our goals and, you know, place in your mind the picture of the kingdom. You know, we could either live this short-lived, fake, pleasurable life in the world and die with the rest of Satan's system, or into Yahweh's kingdom and live forever and spread that joy and gladness to all the rest of the universe. Praise Yahweh. That's what we want. So think long term. Look at the big picture. Okay, if we keep Yahweh's laws, he's going to reward us and he's going to protect us, and man can do nothing to us. Praise Yahweh. So if you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, a son of Yisrael, the great Jacob Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today we have a lineup of news for you. Now, first we have the Beastly Systems flag on the White House. Now, remember, while you're watching this, this is the tree of righteousness and evil. If you looked, you could be deceived by the flag. It kind of looks like the rainbow sash, but it has different colors in it. And if you were looking at it, you could have been deceived. But remember, it's the tree of righteousness and evil. And if you remember, they profess to love, but they practice breaking Yahweh's law. Now, you remember, they have not been taught. It's a lack of education. They say it's normal, but remember, it's normal, but it's not the original. It's not how Yahweh created it. And then remember, dying, they will die. That's the end result. They will die. Then we have the arms build up. NATO's telling Russia that they are ready for war. President Putin says he's adding up to the arms, but remember, they already have enough to destroy the earth plenty of times. Severe weather in the Midwest, and they're always getting ready for a new storm. They never have peace. Next, we have a man that dies from swimming in the beach in Florida. He also had AIDS. But there's no answers for the problems. Then we have a heat wave over 113 degrees Fahrenheit in India. And people are dying from the heat. Remember, the firmament is messed up from the sins. And then the last, we have a cat scratch. A cat scratched a person and it caused blindness. Now remember, pastors warned us about these microbes, the microbes that are on certain animals. And be careful what you're doing with these animals. So you see, they have no answers. And with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn over to the next son of Yisrael, Deacon Daniel James.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So the title of my speech today is Solid Foundation. And what I'm going to be speaking about is, what is our foundation then? What is it that keeps us grounded here as members of the House of Yahweh? So if you could turn over to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, my first scripture. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the law and the prophets." So it's our studies that's what keeps us grounded here in House of Yahweh. Whether it's the prophetic words or whether we're studying the book of Yisrael or just listening to sermons, that's what keeps us, you know, to where we have our mind in the law and the prophets. For my next scripture, if you turn over to Isaiah 8, verse 20. Isaiah 8, verse 20. And it says, "To the law and to the prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So if you're not speaking according to the law and the prophets, you don't have any, there's not any light or any understanding in what you're saying. So it basically makes you a false prophet. Let's see. Matthias 7, verse 21. Because in Matthias 7, further up in the chapter, it was talking about, Yahshua was talking about false prophets would arise, they come to you in sheep's clothing. But in verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Teacher, teacher,' will enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And the footnote there is Ecclesiastes, it says Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. That's telling us exactly what the will of Yahweh is. It's to reverence Yahweh, you know, by keeping his laws. That is our whole duty, you know, to observe, you know, Yahweh's laws. That is our entire duty of man. So, for my next scripture, is further up on the page. It's Matthias 6, verse 33. Says, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And how do you seek the kingdom of Yahweh? It's through repenting and being converted. It says it right there in the side note, which is in Acts 3:19. "To repent, therefore, and be converted, so that our sins can be blotted out." So let's turn to Genesis 28, verse 17. It is where Jacob was speaking. He said, "And he was afraid and said, 'How wonderful is this place? This is none other than the house of Yahweh, and this is the gate, the entrance, the way to the kingdom of Yahweh.'" So the house of Yahweh is like the doorway to get into the kingdom. And we know for a fact that we are at the right place, that this is the prophesied house of Yahweh, because it's spoken of in prophecy. Like in Isaiah 2, verse 2. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it quickly. Isaiah 2, verse 2. It says, "It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it." So this is the house of Yahweh established here in the chief of the nations, which is the United States of America, and everyone will eventually flow onto it. And we know that the witness that we have is the prophesied last days witness, Yisro Hawkins. He's also spoken of in many prophecies. Isaiah 41, it speaks of the witness being from the ends of the earth. And we know that the ends of the earth to be Oklahoma. And we've had all of that explained to us numerous times. So for my last scripture, I'd like to turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Because what is it that we should do now that we've established that we're in the right place and we have the witness here? What is it that we should do? And what is our job to do? We know in Ecclesiastes 12, it speaks of what the duty of man is, which is to reverence Yahweh. See, Hebrews. Let's see. 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entraps us, and let us run the race that is set before us with endurance." And that's what will keep us here and that will help us to run this race, is to continue in our studies and to observe Yahweh's laws, which is our duty, and that will keep us grounded here in the house of Yahweh so that we can run this race with endurance and make it into the kingdom. With that, I'll turn it over to another one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Noah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My topic today is seeking first the kingdom of Yahweh and seeking first becoming a teacher, applying ourselves to studying and practicing the things that we learn in our daily lives. To start off, let's turn over to a scripture we all know and know well. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, found on page 733. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you." Now, this is Yahshua's instruction to us. Yahshua is our perfect example to follow. And something for the youth to think about is, remember when Yahshua was only 12 years old, Yahshua had applied himself so much to learning the wisdom of Yahweh that he was confounding the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Sadducees at that time. So Yahshua put forth the effort. He had to be taught first. He didn't know these things automatically, but he put forth the effort to apply himself to learning these things and in his studies and learning these things from the priest that taught him. Now, in seeking first the kingdom of Yahweh, that should be our number one goal. The Peace of Solution Responsibility Unit teaches us to set positive moral goals, goals that will not bring harm. We just saw in the news how much harm the world has brought upon themselves by not making moral choices. So our number one goal is going to bring peace and solve all those problems. Our number one goal needs to be to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Do that first, number one. And set all of our other goals to be in accordance with that. In order to do this, we have to trust and believe in the prophecies and believe and trust in the teachings of the house of Yahweh, the teachings of the one sent Yisrael Hawkins that he has brought forth to us. That's the only way that we can truly believe these things. Now, the word seek means to achieve, gain, or acquire. And if you think about, if you're trying to learn how to do a job, trying to learn how to do something, acquire a skill or an ability, you first have to be taught. Someone has to teach you. You have to learn those things, and then you can put that into practice. And after you put that into practice, you can then go to teach others. It's the same thing with learning to be a teacher in the house of Yahweh and teach the peaceful solution. First be taught, then teach what you've learned. And remember that you have to practice these things and apply these things in your life. Now, soon there's going to be many, many people that will be coming to the house of Yahweh very soon. And we have to be ready to teach them. We have to be ready to give them the answers to solve their problems. And so we really need to put forth great effort into learning these things, great effort into studying, and great effort into applying these things in our life and in our lives, and put forth the effort to push the worldly foolishness out. Keep ourselves grounded in the house of Yahweh. Keep ourselves grounded in the knowledge of Yahweh through studying. Because the foolishness of this world is passing away. And Babylon is falling. You can see that daily in the news. Babylon is falling. Foolishness of this world is passing away. So we need to apply ourselves to studying. Apply ourselves to becoming teachers. In Isaiah chapter 26, it's found on page 545. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, steadfast on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in Yahweh forever, for Father Yahweh is the rock of everlasting strength." Trust and believe in the prophecies and the teachings brought forth by Pastor in the house of Yahweh. Trust and believe in these things. Put away the foolishness of the world. Apply ourselves to studying, applying ourselves to becoming a teacher. Right here we have the latest newsletter. The world is sick. Why? What hope is available? You can start studying these things. Keep up on your studies. Pastor tells us each week, put forth the effort to study the things that he writes for us. So, also, remember the Peaceful Solution classes that we have during the week. They're very helpful in applying ourselves to study and become teachers. And with that, may Yahweh bless your understanding. Turn it over to a great son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Abel.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today I'll be talking about the effects of marijuana on the brain. The title of my sermon today will be, If You Partake of Marijuana, You Are Outside the Gate. So, some of the ways that marijuana can affect the brain is within a person's cognitive ability, or the ability to learn from mistakes and past experiences, therefore making it hard for them to learn new subjects later on in life. I have an article here from the Indian Journal of Psychiatry that I will be reading from today, and it says that use of marijuana causes cognitive decline, as well as prolongation of word viewing time and executive functioning. Or in other words, it makes a person to where it's hard for them to learn. So, it makes you to where you can't learn new subjects, and it makes it very hard to pick up new subjects later on in life. So, the second way that it affects your mind is in your memory. It begins to break down and destroy certain parts of your brain used for memory, up to 12% in the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain that regulates what physical experiences are turned into memories later on in life. So, and if we look here at the, let's see, right there. Here's a MRI scan of two people. One on this side here has used marijuana consistently for 10 years. This is a non-user's brain. Now, if you notice, remember what I said about the hippocampus shrinking by 12%? You notice this area of the brain is significantly smaller than that of someone on drugs. And there's also a lack of definition here and here. The third way that marijuana affects the brain is motor neuron coordination. It ruins your reaction time and reflexes. So, here's the proof that I've shown you that of what marijuana does and how it is destructive to your brain. And Pastor's already given us this information already. He's already given us the instruction that we shouldn't be partaking of it. So, if you'd all turn over to Revelation 22, verses 15. It says, For outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and worshippers of gods, Elohim, everyone who professes to love yet practices breaking the law. So, the bottom line is, if you use marijuana, you are a sorcerer and are outside the gate. Okay. And with that, I'd like for you to all stand for another great son of Israel, Abel Hawkins, Tawakia Grunowitz.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Getting right into it, if you have your book of Yahweh, if you could turn over to the book of Yaakov, chapter 3. And this is what I'm going to be talking about, is the unruly tongue and controlling it. Staying away from gossip. But in Yaakov chapter 3 on page 954, on verses 4 through 6, it says, or 3 through 6, verse 3 says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So a little bit controls the whole horse." Well, with you controlling the horse. "Behold also the ships. Also they are large. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go." So you have these huge ships. You have these big ships, and they're strong winds that drive them. And just a small rudder is what turns them, controls them. Verse 5, "In the same way the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is set among our members, defiling the whole body and destroying all creation. And for this is subject to the fire of Gehenna." But we can't control it. We can control our tongue. Just to show you how much words can hurt, I'm going to show you how much words can hurt you or hurt other people. If you have your respect unit, or go back later in the respect unit of the Peaceful Solution, you can see this. Respect unit. On page 56, it says, "The language of respect." And it says, "Have you ever heard the expression, 'Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me'?" Who's ever heard that? Sure, we've heard it once or twice in our life. Well, guess what? It's a lie. Well, in the House of Yahweh, we're learning that a lot of things that were learned in the world are lies. So don't get offended because you were told a lie. Words can hurt. They can be a form of abuse. Bones that get broken heal, but emotional hurt from spiteful, mean, and uncaring words can have a lifelong effect. So they affect you for the rest of your life. Now, our great overseer has brought this out for many years, and he's been telling us these things over and over again. Even back in the Going On to Perfection series, in the second book of Israel, Going On to Perfection number 4, verse 68, pastor's speaking of the word malice and the things that encompasses in this, and he says, "This is the desire to hurt someone else with words or actions." So with our words, we can hurt others with our words. "That is pretending you are of the house of Yahweh and then stealing, breaking Yahweh's Sabbath, gossiping about your brother or sister, or revealing evidence, anything to hurt. And our words can do that. And filthy language, bad language, is offensive to everyone around you. So pastor has been bringing this out for many years, but science is just now finding these things out. And this is an article from Psychology Today, and it's talking about how hurtful words damage the brain. And there was a study done about children whenever they were being raised, and how physical, emotional, and mental abuse to them, how that can affect their brain. It says, "The environment that children are raised in molds not only their mind, but also their brain. This is something many long suspected. But now we have scientific instruments that show us how dramatically childhood experience alters the physical structure of the brain, and how sensitive we are as children to the emotional or environmental effects. Words, verbal harassment from peers, parents, teachers, and so on and so forth can cause far more than emotional harm. And before you get it in your head, 'Well, I'm an adult, I'm not a child, it doesn't affect me.' It does affect you. It affects everyone. Words that are used in the wrong way, or such as yelling at someone instead of calmly correcting someone, that can affect you, and that can affect that person for the rest of their life. And that's something that they will remember for the rest of their life. But like I said before, we can use these words to build others up. We can control our tongue. We just have to set our mind to it. And we can encourage others to do the work of Yahweh, as it says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. If we can turn over to Job chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. It's on page 420. It says, "I also could talk like you if you were in my place.
I could make worthless speeches against you and shake my head at you. But notice what he says. However, I would not do that. I would encourage you with my mouth, and comfort from my lips would bring you relief. So instead of doing what the world is doing, tearing others down, tearing them to pieces, we need to encourage one another on toward love and righteous works. These things that encouraging are going to benefit others, not tear them down. And if we turn over to Proverbs chapter 21, Proverbs 21 and verse 23, it says, on page 509, it says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from trouble. So if we guard our mouth, if we guard our tongue, if we guard what we say, we can keep ourselves from trouble. Before you open your mouth and say something, think about it. Would I say this to Pastor? Would I say this to Yahshua Messiah? Would I walk up to Yahweh and say this to him? If the answer is no, then you probably shouldn't be saying it. And to close out, I just want you to remember what Pastor had said in the second book of Israel, chapter 1, verse 48 and 49. He was talking about the little old lady who lived in Alabama. And he said she had a huge number of friends. She was celebrating her 100th birthday. And there were so many people, she didn't have room for all the cars, and they had to park in other people's yards. And the news medias were sent out, and they asked her, well, what's the reason for all these people being here? How do you have so many friends? Well, she said, well, sir, I choose up my words before I spit them out. Okay, so we need to do that same exact thing. And Pastor says we need to take that to heart in our own lives, because we're the ones who are going to be judged by these words we spit out. You better take this to heart, Pastor says, brethren, because these words can condemn you. What makes it so bad is when words come between friends or brothers or sisters. So remember, guard your tongue. Don't let any amount of sin escape from your mouth. Anything that's going to tear anyone else down. Gossip, any of that. Guard your mouth. And with that, if you all please stand. I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to this one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Yahshua Samuel.
Okay. Shalom, everyone. My name is Yahshua Samuel Yochanan Hawkins, and the title of my speech, you may be seated, sorry. Well, the title of my speech is Future Days Being Fulfilled. So I'll start off. What is prophecy? Why do we believe in prophecy, and why is it so important that we look to the fulfillment of prophecy? Well, prophecy is the ability to foretell future events. Prophecy is the prophecy allows us to see the mindset of Yahweh, and also allows us to know and understand his plan. Not only that, it also lets you know where you are in time and what is going to occur in the future. So this basically gives us a timeline about what is being revealed right before our eyes. Prophecy separates Yahweh's authority from that of the false prophets. Prophecy is for the believers, and prophecy is only revealed to Yahweh's people. Prophecy proves all. The scriptures are filled with prophecies that has and will come to pass. One passage in Matithiah is given the title, The Signs of Times and the End of Age. The signs of times are these prophecies, and the end of age is the last days. So I'll be reading from Matithiah 24:7, which says, for nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. So you can tell with these last days that prophecies is taking place with the aquifers that are drying up, and without water you cannot feed the crops or you can't feed the cattle, and without them you'll starve. And also, nation rising up against nation, if you remember in the last week's news broadcast that China is building islands in the sea, in the middle of the sea, and claiming that part of the sea as their own, but the other nations aren't allowing that. Okay. And lastly, you also with the newly come up gods, because they are growing and multiplying, and they're here. So there are much more examples, but for the sake of time, I'll move on. But in Matithiah, you can see that prophecy was given by Yahweh, and it is still taking place as we speak. Yisrael Hawkins also was given the ability to prophesy by Yahweh, which is proven in Revelations 11, verse 3, but for your notes. So what are some things that Yisrael Hawkins has prophesied? Well, that has and will come to pass. The start of nuclear war on September 6, 2006, the true cause of global warming, which is STDs, the mega droughts that's fastly growing, the prophecies that Rome will burn 2 billion people remaining after the wars, and then them coming to the house. And lastly, the signing of the 70-year peace plan. Before 1934, no prophecies written for these last days had taken place. The stage was being set, and it's proven that in the year 1934, Vernon, Pastor's older brother, at 1 year old, called him by his name, Buffalo Bill. And also, Pastor was born in that year, and the increase of knowledge within the with the invention of the computer and much more came shortly after that. All prophecies leads to the house. The preachers out in the world doesn't teach prophecy because they'll be telling their followers to not only flow to Yahweh's house, but to run. Because Yahweh's house, because through the word of, okay, sorry. They'll be telling their followers not only to flow, but to run to Yahweh's house. Instead, they teach that peace is taught through the word of God. And the word of God is war. Kill your enemies so that they can't rise up and oppose you. And then you'll have peace, true peace. That's the only answer that they can come up with. But why? Well, because of what's written in Isaiah 2, verse 2 through 4, and Malachi 4, verse 1 through 3. Okay. But I'll be reading from Isaiah 2, 2 through 4, which says, it will come to pass in the last days the mount of promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised up above all congregations, and all the nations will eventually flow to it. The many people will go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Yahweh, for the father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and he will walk in his path. For the law will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem. He will judge among the nations and will be rebuked. Many people, they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. So what this is saying shows that in prophecy that peace will come to the earth in these last days. But how will peace come? Does it come through by killing your enemies or making weapons of mass destruction? No. It says that by teaching his ways, which is the laws of Yahweh, but who will teach all these things? Who was given the ability and authority to bring peace to all the nations? And it's proven in Matthew 24, verse 14. It says, and this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Well, the one who bears witness is the one who will bring peace to the nations. And he'll teach all the nations that the way of Yahweh. So peace is found here because we teach the laws, the way of Yahweh. Yahweh's peace isn't found out there. Is that peace comes through force, through war, through fighting. Peace doesn't come through that. Peace comes through education, which is found in Isaiah 2, verse 3, which we just read. So why is the world now finding out about Yeshua Hawkins? Well, because they were uneducated on scriptural teachings. Peace comes through the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program through the obedience of Yahweh's laws. Prophecy was for then in the times of old. Prophecy will be for the future, and prophecy will be is for now. We, the seeds of Yeshua, was given the ability through the Spirit of Yahweh to understand the signs of prophecy. And when we bear witness that prophecy is coming to pass, what does that show us? Well, it proves that Yahweh is alive and is watching over his plan and people. And with that, I'll turn it over to the Son of Yeshua label, Cable Office.
Shabbat Shalom! You may be seated. Today, I'm going to be speaking about Yisrael Hawkins gives us the water of life. Now, water. We've been seeing recently in the news that the water we've been seeing, the wells have been drying up, and everything is going bad for the world's way of water. But for the house of Yahweh, we have our water. It's called Yisrael Hawkins. And to start off, let's go over to Revelations. Revelations 22. And it's Revelations 22:17. Revelation 22:17 on page 986, and it reads, and this spirit and the birds said, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who is thirsty come, and whoever will let him take the water of life freely. Now, this water of life, who has prophesied in these last days to teach this water of life? Here's your Hawkins, correct. Let's look back on Revelation 22. Let's look at verse 16. It says, and I, Yahshua, have sent my Malach to testify to you these things in the congregation of the house of Yahweh. Now, let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah 44. And this shows where Yahweh prophesied that there will be two witnesses, Yeshua and Yaakov, and they will be teaching us the water of life. Isaiah 44, and now look at verse 2 through 3. It says, "This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb. Who will help you? Do not fear, Yaakov, my servant, and Yeshua, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. I will pour out my water upon him who is thirsty and flood upon the dry grounds. I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon your offspring." Now, we come here every 3 times a year. We come here for the feast, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and weekly Sabbath day to get the spirit that he talks about. Now, what do we do with this water we're given? Because we talk about this race, you know, this race. We're running this race. We've been hearing about this for years, since I was little. We're running this race. What race are we running? And whenever you run a race, you know, you get tired. You're going to have to drink something. What we're drinking is this water of life. What we study. How much are we studying? Because that's what gives us water. What do we listen to the priest when we come to confession? We confess our sins, and that helps us concentrate on refilling this water of life. Confessing, which is also part of filling your cups with, you confess your sins, and then you start. You come to the Sabbath and you learn. You come to the classes that come, which are taught every morning. Now, this water that we hear about, what's the point of it? Because is it everlasting? What is it going to do? Is it going to dry up eventually? Because all wells dry up. This water doesn't dry up, and we'll see in Yochanan. Let's go to Yochanan 4. Yochanan 4, verses 14. And it shows, Yochanan 4:14 on page 817. It says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never become thirsty. For the water that I give him will become in him, like a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, who is springing up in this everlasting life we see in these last days? Yisrael Hawkins, correct. Yisrael Hawkins is the one who's given us this water. He is the Niagara Falls of the house of Yahweh, because he is gushing us with water, flowing, and we have to absorb it. That's what we do. We learn to teach, and then we teach what we have learned. That's what the house of Yahweh is about, because we learn. We come to classes. We learn what we've taught. We're learning what your pastor says, which is teaching through the priests. The priests teach us what he says as well, and we learn that, and we go learn, apply, and study it. And after we study it, is there temptations? There's tests. You'll see in Yochanan 6:6 on page 820, Yochanan 6:6, it says, it's about Yahshua and Philip feeding the 5,000. It says, Now he said, "This is a test. This is to test him, for he already knew what we would do." This is a test. Yahweh shows us he's going to test us. And what does it say in Proverbs? Proverbs 4. I'm just going to quote it. You can read it later on. But Proverbs 4, verse 23. You know, guard your mind. Guard your mind with all diligence, for out flows the spring of life. You know, we have to guard our mind with what we've been taught here in the house of Yahweh. Because if we put these into practice, we will guard that spring of life, and we can teach it on to the next generation. Now, let's go over to Yochanan 8 on page 824. And people who sometimes disbelieve. They don't agree with something. Don't agree with the priest. Well, this water of life is for people who agree. We agree with pastor and what the teachings are. On Yochanan 8, on page 824, verses 34 to 36, it says, "Yahshua answered and said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you, whoever commits sin, is the servant of sin.'" You're a servant of Satan. Remember, Revelations 12:9. He whose service worships obeys the gods Elohim, which is partaking worldly music, movies, all things that are not part of Yahweh, gods will not remain in the house of Yahweh. Forever, a son of Yahweh, a righteous man, a saint will remain in the house of Yahweh forever. So, since being a son of Yahweh is righteous, and a man or a saint, it is what makes you free. You will really be free from the gods and Elohim. We won't have this sin, this temptation in the world. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the son of Yisrael, Abel, Shlomo.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today we're going to be talking about guard your mind from negative influences. Now, influences, negative and positive, are around us all the time. But the thing about it is we have to make the choice which ones we're going to let take a hold of us, or which ones we're going to follow, and which ones we're going to get away from us. So we have to make that choice. Negative influences are all around us. From the character unit, on page 60, it says an influence is something or someone that has the ability to affect your attitude, way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Have you ever been in a hailstorm and felt like you were getting hit from every direction? Everything you hear, experience, and see, as well as every interaction and conversation that you are a part of, have the potential to change the way you think and feel about the things that you value. Influences can come in all different sizes. They can be positive, negative, subtle, bold. But the one thing they all have in common is they all have the ability to affect what you value and affect your character either in a positive or negative way. All right, so influences can be positive or negative. Now these influences, these negative influences that we get, maybe they could be drugs, as we've heard about today, worldly music, movies, commercials, TV shows, even friends. Some of these negative influences, well, all negative influences are from the world. If you turn to First Yochanan 2, verse 15, it's on page 964. First Yochanan 2 and verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away with the lust that is in it. But he who does the will of Yahweh abides forever." All right, so if you have your mind on the things of the world, all of those things are going to pass away, and you won't make it in the kingdom if that's what your mind is on. But if your mind is on Yahweh, if your mind is on the work of Yahweh, being in the kingdom, if it's on these things, then you will have a place in the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, Yahshua was also tested. If you turn to Matthew 4, Yahshua was tested in all points as we were, as we are. Matthew 4. Now, this is an example of when he was tested by Satan. If you look at verse 3, it's on page 730. It says, "So when the tempter came to him, she said, 'If you are the son of Yahweh, command that these stones be turned to bread.'" So Satan came after Yahshua had been fasting and wanted to come and test him, see if he would follow Satan. Verse 8. It says, "Again, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the magnificence of them, and said to him, 'I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me.'" So you can see there, Satan was laying a trap for Yahshua. She was saying, if you fall down and worship me, if you turn away from Yahweh, if you follow after the gods, be evil like the gods, if you worship me, then I will give you all these things. You can have all the kingdoms if you worship me, if you go the way of Cain. Then Yahshua said to her, "You get away, Satan, for it is written, 'Yahweh your Father you must reverence, and him only you must serve.'" So you can see Yahshua's mind was on being in the kingdom, the work of Yahweh. Yahshua was tested the same as us. If you turn, so don't say that you can't pass this test. Don't say that, because Yahshua passed the test. If you turn to Hebrews 4, it's on page 945. page 945, it's Hebrews 4 and verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize for our weakness, but was in all ways tempted as we are, yet was without sin." So he was tested and came without sin, ended up without sin. From the fourth book of Yisrael, chapter 17, it's on page 159. The title of the sermon is Yahweh's Righteousness, the Faith Created by Him, and the Mark of Cain, Continual War. This sermon was given on 7-8-89. Verse 37 says, "Remember, she influences the mind the same as Yahweh. Only Yahweh's spirit is stronger. Satan actually has rulership over the human mind until Yahweh's Holy Spirit enters it. It is only by Yahweh's Holy Spirit that we can get Satan's will out of us. I have brought this out before. I don't remember the name of the sermon, but it's something about Satan's influence on the mind, or something like this." Verse 38, it says, "The scriptures are plain on this. Satan does this. She controls the mind unless we choose to serve Yahweh. Satan was controlling Cain, and he submitted to this control, as you can see. That's the reason that he didn't want to obey Yahweh and bring the lamb in representation of Yahshua. He didn't want to keep the Passover. He didn't want to tell his people that you have to go to this place in Abilene and listen to Yahweh's priest who will teach you how to keep the feast and learn to love each other. We hang on to this attitude today. Each one of us should be rooting this out of our minds." That's what Pastor says. We should be getting it out of our minds. Praise Yahweh. So Satan influences the mind as same as Yahweh, but Yahweh's influences are stronger. Yahweh's spirit is stronger. So we have to take a hold of what Yahweh has been giving us through the prophetic words, the newsletters, the sermons, the classes. All these things will help us overcome this sin, and because these are all positive influences, and they're from the house of Yahweh, they're not from the world. So you have to screen the influence, all right? If it's according to the laws, the 613 laws of Yahweh, if it's according to the laws, then it's positive and it's okay. You can go ahead and follow it. But if it's not according to the laws, if it's negative, then throw it away from you. Remember, resist the devil and she will flee from you. And with that, if everyone will please stand. I'd like to turn it over to Son of Yishalabel, Deacon Yishalabel. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is "The World Proves That They Hate Yisrael Hawkins and Yahweh." The Supreme Court, ruled by the Catholic Church, thinks to change Leviticus 18:22, showing their hatred for Yahweh and choosing destruction. And as you all saw in the news yesterday on 6/26, the Supreme Court of the United States of America legalized sodomy in all 50 states. Now, if you'll turn over to Leviticus 18, and verse 22, I want you to read it to yourselves. And if you don't have a book of Yahweh, and if you're in the house of Yahweh and you don't have a book of Yahweh, it's a shame. But if you don't have one, look on with your neighbor, but you need to read it. Leviticus 18, 22. Okay, now I have an article here. It's from NPR, and it says same-sex marriage supporters rejoice after the United States Supreme Court hands down a ruling regarding same-sex marriage today outside the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. The High Court ruled that same-sex couples have the right
to marry in all 50 states. States cannot keep these couples from marrying and must recognize their unions. The Supreme Court says in a ruling that for months has been the focus of speculation. The decision was 5-4. The ancient origins of marriage confirm its centrality, but it has not stood in isolation from developments in law and society, Kennedy wrote. His opinion sketches a history of how ideas of marriage have evolved along with the changing roles and legal status of women. In his dissent, Roberts wrote that the court had taken an extraordinary step in deciding not to allow states to decide the issue, calling the ruling deeply disheartening. Roberts said that those on the winning side should celebrate a victory, but do not celebrate the Constitution. He wrote, it had nothing to do with it. And then there's a graph here. I have a blown-up version for you. And if you can see, it says the Supreme Court strikes down same-sex marriage bans. And the ones that are in the that are really light here, the light gray, they were banned by the state law. And then the darker ones were legal by federal court ruling. And then the black ones were legal by state action. And then over here it shows after the Supreme Court ruling, the ones that were once banned by the state law now become legal by Supreme Court decision, and then the other ones remain legal by the lower federal court ruling. Then it says here in this article, continuing in the article, it says, the court noted the change in thinking, stating, well into the 20th century, many states condemned same-sex intimacy as immoral, and homosexuality was treated as an illness. Later in the century, cultural and political developments allowed same-sex couples to lead more open and public lives. Extensive public and private dialogue followed, along with shifts in public attitudes, questions about the legal treatment of gays and lesbians soon reached the courts, where they could be discussed in the formal discourse of the law. And that was man's law, of course. And in doing this, they proved that they hate Yahweh, and they love Satan. If you'll turn over to Romans chapter 1, and verse 27, it's found on page 874, Romans 1, and verse 27, it says, and the men did the same thing, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies the penalty for their error, which is their fitting retribution. And so, since they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over, it came to pass that they were given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual impurity, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, backbiters, slanderers, haters of Yahweh, despiteful, arrogant, and boastful. They are inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And I want you to get the part in verse 30, haters of Yahweh. And they prove that they hate Yahweh. And not only did they prove that they hate Yahweh, but in their own courts of the land, a few years back, they proved that they hate Yishuel Hawkins above all people in their own courts. Now, if you'll turn over to 1 Samuel, chapter 8, it's found on page 228, 1 Samuel chapter 8, and look at verse 7. And it says, Yahweh answered Samuel and said, listen to all the words the people speak to you, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this very day. They are now doing to you. They are forsaking me in order to serve gods, Elohim. And the word reject there means to oppose, and they are opposing Yisrael Hawkins. In the 12-2013 prophetic word, which is this one here, why are all religions allowing the world to be turned to sodomy? On page 5, under the heading, The Vatican That Sits on Seven Hills, Pastor says here, Satan and those of the Vatican have but a few years left. Satan is using those of the Vatican, as scriptures show, to try to destroy the earth, which was made for man. Sodomy is a means of destroying the mind. It brings confusion so that sensible decisions cannot be made. We see this today where every plan and every action of man has become a mound of deeper problems. So much so that the world leaders become frustrated and think that nuclear destruction is the only way out. The whole world has rejected Yahweh's laws, which are the only way to solve the world's problems. But the Catholic popes will not repent. They want to resurrect the Roman Empire and rule the world, bringing all people into submission to their sodomy and all other sins. They want to make it possible, once again, to kill all who want to follow any form of righteousness. However, Yahweh has set a time limit upon their evil rule, and it will soon end, but only after 4/5 of the earth's population is dead. About 1/5 of the population will be left alive and will actually turn to Yahweh and his house, the house of Yahweh. And then over on page 10 of the same prophetic word, still under the same heading, it says, sodomy seems to be the sin that you hang on to the most. Sodomy and murder carry the same penalty because they both kill. They take the lives of others. And then he quotes from 1 Yochanan 3:15, which says, whoever hates his neighbor is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And if you'll all turn over to 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 through 10, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Do not deceive yourselves, neither fornicators, nor God worshippers, worshippers of Elohim, nor adulterers, nor men who commit sexual perversions with boys, nor men who commit sexual perversions with other men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And then in the sixth 2013 prophetic word, which is this one here, open letter to the Supreme Court, on page 8, under the heading, America's Supreme Court Members Need to Repent, it says, the decisions of America's Supreme Court promote the breaking of Yahweh's laws. This places you in the same system with the false prophets spoken of by Yahweh's prophet Daniel. Notice this for yourselves, Daniel 7, 21 and 25. And it says here, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints, and then in verse 25 it says, and he will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out mentally attack to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh. So they come against all forms of holiness. Before we go any further, if you all will please turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel 8, verse 23. It says, and in the last days of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king of fierce expression and understanding dark sentences, skilled in trickery and deception, will stand up. And his power will be mighty, but not through his own power. And he will destroy astoundingly, and he will succeed. and practice and will destroy the mighty and the holy people. And remember, the fierce expression, in side note, FNG there, it means the forced immorality. And if you remember the graph that I showed you, remember the forced immorality there, and this graph here, remember the 13 states that they had it banned by the state law, and then after the Supreme Court ruling, then it becomes legal by the Supreme Court decision, and it overrules what they had there by the state law. I forgot to show these when I read the article, but here's the CNN. It says, more perfect unions. That's the farthest thing from perfect. It says, same-sex marriage is legal nationwide, Supreme Court rules. And you can see the people there. And then also this one. And you have the man there waving the that flag. And it says there that it was legal, that the ruling makes gay marriage legal in the remaining 13 states. And then it says in Daniel 8, he will destroy the mighty and the holy people. Well, this is the holiness of the people, and the holiness is the teaching, the loving of Yahweh's laws, and they want to totally destroy that. And we're going to read from the book of Israel here in a second to talk more about this. It says, but even though... Let's see. Oh, so, but even though that this is the law of the land, it is not the law of Yahweh's land. Let's turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 17. And let's look at verse 28. It says, in the same way as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. So on the very day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That is the way it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And this is the lot that the world has chosen, the fire and the brimstone. This is what they have chosen for themselves. In the 13th book of Israel... 13th book of Israel, part 2, gold, pure fine gold, on page 45, I'm reading from chapter 6, and it's entitled, The Catholic Church Has Begun to Resurrect the Roman Empire, Which is Opposed to All Righteousness. And the sermon was given 8-17, 2013. And in verse 2, it says, what we're seeing here today, all the news, I saw it in prophecy last night. And this is the sermon that was covered last night in law class. And of course, I wrote about it before this, but you're seeing it pick up. The church, the Catholic Church is, as you can see, pushing for sodomy. And they're coming against every form of holiness. Now, you've got to remember those two things. It's shown. And then over here on the next page, verse 6, it says, well, the Islamics and the Muslims are the same. They're both against sodomy. And remember, they want to destroy all forms of holiness. And in verse 12, it says, please listen closely to everything I'm saying here, because there's going to be a hard push. You remember when they kidnapped Abraham's nephew, do you remember that? And remember what we read in Luke 17, 28, verses 28 through 30, the same as in the days of Lot. And then verse 47 of the same chapter, in the ending, it says, I just read you where sodomy is being pushed right here in the United States. Soon you will see this confusion take over, and war is going to be throughout the whole world. And it's going to serve its purpose. It's going to turn, of course, to nuclear war. And so he was talking about this very thing, you know, trying to get rid of the every bit of holiness. He was talking about this thing that occurred yesterday, 2 years ago. Back to the prophetic word. It says here, what you just read, that he was talking about Daniel 7, verses 21 and 25. What you just read is what you, as a judge of the Supreme Court, are doing now. This action is called iniquity in your Bible. You are responsible for the promotion of iniquity and sin, as the Savior, Yeshua Messiah, and the prophets show. But you are not teaching both sides, and you are not giving the people a choice. You only say, it is now legal to commit this evil act of sodomy. How can creating, mutating, and passing on diseases that kill be considered as legal? The Supreme Court of any land should follow and teach supreme laws and let the people see the benefit and the blessing of each law. You also need to teach and be taught yourselves the curses, sickness, disease, confusion, hatred, fighting, school shootings, war, and now imminent nuclear war that results from iniquity, as Yahweh shows in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. And I'm only going to read verse 15. It says, see, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction. And they chose destruction. And then on page 10 of this prophetic word, it says, the Supreme Court of America, in publishing your decisions that sodomy is legal, has essentially said to the young and old that it is right, that it is a righteous thing to do. In doing this, you have taken their part out of the coming kingdom of Yahweh and have pronounced a death sentence upon the people. You should have said the following, Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 19. But just because it is the law of the land does not mean that it's okay, or let me ask the question. But just because it's the law of the land, does that mean that it's okay to do now?
No,
absolutely not. So don't fear this opposition, but work harder and help Yishel Hawkins oppose Babylon. If you'll all please stand, I'll turn the services over to the great son of Yishel Abel for prayer.